Now. But this is not a name it and claim it message. I've entitled this False Prophets Then, False Prophets Now. Because we had them then, and we have them now. He's just going to make an adjustment on the sound here. We'll get this thing right. Okay, he's waiting for me to go ahead so we can get it right. Okay. So are we right? Okay, we're right now. 2 Peter chapter 2. Hopefully look at verses 1 through 9. But listen carefully to what I'm saying to you about false prophets. The airwaves are full of them. Mm-hmm. Television hosts them. You've got major religious movements in the world. Major religious movements in the nation that have false prophets.
Right. Mm-hmm. Amen.
The word that they teach is not based on the word of God. It's been twisted. It's been perverted. It's been turned. The means and methods of how sinful man can be reconciled to holy God has been misrepresented. You need to understand that. Because you are surrounded every day of the world by people who have bought into those misrepresentations. You need to be mindful of that. Now, as we come through this message this morning, Abraham in Genesis chapter 20 and verse 7 is the first mentioned prophet in the Word of God. In Genesis chapter 20 and verse 7, he's mentioned as a prophet. But by the same token, false prophets are nothing new. False prophets are nothing new to the world. Balaam, in Numbers chapter 22 through 24, is our first recorded first false prophet. You can read that later. It's in Numbers chapter 22 through 24. Now, Balak is threatened, if you will, by Israel. He's both threatened and he's frightened by Israel because Israel's on the move. Israel has come out of captivity. They're conquering nations. And his nation is up, and he knows that. So he's concerned. And so he goes to the prophet, the false prophet, if you will. And he was the first false prophet that we find in the scriptures. But this false prophet was not an Israelite, but he was recognized to be a prophet. Old Balak went to him, and he conspired with Balaam. They wanted Balaam to curse the people of God. And so they hired him, tried to hire him, and he tried to curse them, but he was prevented by God from doing so. He couldn't get them cursed. So he still sought some means by which he could be enriched by the ones who were trying to hire him. And so he offered them some other advice. He couldn't curse them. But he says, you get the people of God, you get these people involved in idolatry and immorality, and their God will turn against them.
Hello.
He couldn't curse them, but he could tell them how to get them to lose favor with God. What was true in that day,
amen,
is true in this day.
Right.
Idolatry and immorality. You see, what he was really saying to them, listen to me carefully. You get them involved in idolatry and immorality, and God will withdraw his protection.
Amen.
God will withdraw his protection. Have you heard anything yet? You're living in a nation. You're living in a nation that has tried in so many ways and is trying in so many ways by how many different religious groups to misrepresent the Lord Jesus Christ, misrepresent the kingdom of God, misrepresent what is required to be in the kingdom of God.
Yes.
This nation is full of it.
Yep.
So false prophets are nothing unusual. Listen to me carefully. You've got multitudes today that every day of the world are buying into the message of false prophets.
Amen.
And I will lay that out very clearly for you as we move through this, because I want you to understand this. You're up against it. Now, understand this as well. And I don't think most of the church really gets this. I've said it how many times from the pulpit. But I don't think most of the church gets this. God has turned all of his work over to the church.
Right. Yes, sir.
It's in the hands of the church. And he will leave it in the hands of the church. Listen to me carefully. He will leave it in the hands of the church until the church fails. And when the church fails at whatever time that may be, then he has to take over in ways that you don't want to see. When you read the prophetic word of God as to the end times and what the end times will look like and what will be ushered into the end times for which God has to move against them, and you have to understand it's not an overnight occurrence. It is an incremental change after change after change, implementation after implementation after implementation of that which is ungodly and unholy and contrary to the word of God and contrary to the kingdom of God. And that is being embraced by nation after nation, even in this day in which we live.
Amen.
And you, me, ambassadors for Christ, believer priest, soldiers of the cross, according to the word of God. Soldiers face combat. We're facing combat today in the spirit realm. And that is why we need the people of God to understand the signs of the times. This is not a message on prophecy. It's a message on trying to get the people of God to understand who they are in Christ Jesus, and that God has turned all of his work over to the church until the church fails. Now, once the church has finally, completely, totally, thoroughly failed, which it will, then he steps in. He takes over. You don't want to be alive when that occurs. We come now to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Peter is writing to the church. Now, make sure you understand this. Peter is writing to the church. He's writing to Christians, to the church. The blood-bought, blood-washed people of God, not the religious organizations, to the church, the body of Christ on earth today. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. There were false prophets then. There's false prophets now. There were false prophets in the systems of religion at that time. There are false prophets in the systems of religion today. The church, though, for the most part, is asleep. Any system of religion that teaches that sinful man can be reconciled to holy God by involving themselves in their system of religion is a false system of religion.
That's right.
Hear me carefully. Mm-hmm. Any system of religion that teaches that sinful man can be reconciled to holy God by becoming involved in their system of religion was born in hell.
Amen.
It's contrary to the word of God. You see, it's only what they do as well is they try to convince you, once you are baptized into our system of religion, you are eternally safe. And then they will tell you as well, you dedicate your child as an infant, and we will baptize your child, we will sprinkle your child, and we will set your child apart, and therefore your child is safe forevermore. And I'm telling you, you've got a world full of people who think they are safe because their parents christened them and dedicated them and said, we're committing you to the Lord, without telling them you, as you develop, have to make a personal one-on-one experience relationship. You have to experience that because you have to make a decision for yourself that you want Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Baptizing the infant. Now you can dedicate the infant, and we did that. We asked the Lord to bring man into a saving knowledge of himself early on in life, which he did. You can do that. But to just set the thing down and say, well, we're going to baptize you in the name of Jesus. You're an infant. You don't understand this. But now understand, now that we have dedicated you to the Lord and we have baptized you, you are now a child of God. Wrong.
Amen.
You must be born again. What I'm teaching right now cuts across the grain against some real strong major religious movements in this nation and the nations of the world. But it's the Word of God, and I can't deny that. So, any system, let me say this very clearly, any system of religion that says you get baptized into our system of religion and you're good to go, you're good with God, that's a false system of religion. It is a false system of religion, regardless of what kind of uniform they may wear.
Yep, that's true.
Regardless of the religious uniform they wear, it's still a false system of religion. Regardless of their religious practices, you need ears to hear this. Regardless of their religious practices, it's still a false system of religion. It misrepresents the gospel.
Amen.
It's a false system of religion. It is a total misrepresentation of the gospel. What did Jesus say? Jesus said you must be born again.
Right.
I use this man in teaching so often on the radio, Nicodemus. Nicodemus was religious up to his eyebrows. He was soaked in the Pharisee religion. He was a religious man in the system of the Pharisees. But he knew something was missing. And he came to Jesus by night. He wanted to get it straight. Jesus cut through all the stuff. He said, you must be born again. That's simple. You must be born again. Now, he was speaking at that time to a religious leader among the Jews. And he said, you must be born again. And that religious leader, Nicodemus, believed and was born again. You are mixing and mingling every day of the world with people who are involved in systems of religion. They've been deceived. They think they're right with God. They think by doing what that system of religion tells them to do, they're right with God.
Yeah.
And the one heartbeat from hell.
Amen.
One heartbeat from hell. And you're surrounded by them every day. Religious leadership. We've got people in systems of religion and religious leadership who are in systems and in positions of religious leadership, but were never born again.
That's right.
They have no idea what it means to be spirit sensitive, spirit filled, spirit led, spirit anointed. They have no idea. And you're surrounded with them every day. People religious, but never born again. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. And many will follow their destructive ways. There it is. Many will follow their destructive ways because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. They are misrepresenting the truth. They're blaspheming the truth. You see, we tend to take this so lightly. God doesn't take it lightly. God does not take it lightly. We tend to treat it so casually. God does not treat it casually. Many will believe the religious lies of certain religious organizations and of that religious leadership. But you have to understand this. The gospel as taught by Jesus Christ, as I stand in this pulpit this morning, You've got hundreds of thousands of people involved in religious organizations, involved in a religious meeting in which the gospel is being completely, totally, thoroughly misrepresented.
Right.
And they're taking multitudes to hell.
Yep.
Now, here's the only consolation. And it took me years, in a sense, to learn how to pray this. Seriously. It took me a long time to finally fully, more better understand the elect. Who are the elect? The elect are those individuals that God knew before the foundation of the world would be willing to be willing to be willing to receive Christ as Savior. In all the multitudes, in every civilization, in every nation of the world, God knew before the foundation of the world every single soul who would ever be born. He knew of those who were born, who exactly would be born again, and who would not be born again. And he knew that those who were not born again would be consigned to an eternity in hell. He knew that. Now, Satan says, okay, I got to come up with some system of religion here. I've got to come up with some systems of religion that will deceive people into thinking that if you buy into this system of religion, and if you embrace this action, and if you embrace this teaching, then you're safe for eternity. And so he wove his lies. And hundreds of thousands have bought into it. This is so serious, folks. You see, he knew that the gospel that he taught would be misrepresented. Jesus is God in the flesh.
Amen.
He's the Messiah.
Amen.
He has all knowledge. When he left heaven and came to earth, he knew that the gospel was going to be misrepresented. And it is being misrepresented in nation after nation after nation. And God knew that many, multitudes, 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 you can't number them, would buy into that misrepresentation, would be deceived, would die in their deceit, and go to hell. You are mixing and mingling every day of the world with individuals who have bought into a false system of religion.
Amen.
And you may be the only light. You may be the only light in the darkness of their world. And you need to understand that. Every day of the world, am I going to be light? Am I going to be salt? I am commissioned to be light. I am commissioned to be salt. I'm not saying you have to go out and grab them by the throat and shake them and say, repent. Be godly. Be light. Be salt. Be that gentle, day-by-day witness in who you are, what you are, and all you are. You see, God knew many would believe the misrepresentation of the gospel. Jesus knew that. He knew hundreds of thousands would misunderstand, and they would believe that misrepresentation of the gospel. And I know I'm cutting across some broad, thick lines now, but it's got to be taught.
Amen.
This will be on the radio. It's got to be taught. This will not win you friends.
No.
But it's got to be taught. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. By covetousness, who's he talking about? Those who manipulate people. By covetousness, they will exploit you. That's ugly, folks. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. There's going to come a day of accountability, when God will hold them responsible. The bottom line is, multitudes will be deceived, and multitudes will be exploited. That's happening in your neighborhood. For some of you, that's happening in your families. They will be deceived. they'll be exploited. They will buy into a false system of religion, a false system of how sinful man is reconciled to the Holy God, and as a result of buying into it, they will be exploited by that system. We, as believers, you, me, we're surrounded by them every day.
Yep.
You're surrounded by these people every day.
Yes, sir.
Every day of the world. Perhaps you may have some of these people in your family. You may have those in your family who have bought into a wrong system of religion.
Amen.
Have bought into a false system of religion. And you may be the only light. You may be the only light. You may be the only salt that they'll ever really experience. And once again, you don't have to go out and grab them by the throat and shake them and say, turn or burn. But just be who you are. But don't compromise your testimony.
Amen.
Don't compromise your witness. Don't compromise who you are. You may be the only believer in that family. I don't know. You see, you may be just what we would refer to as a silent witness. There's that verbal witness, and there's that silent witness. Now, this spills over into the workplace, folks. This spills over into the workplace. There are those in the workplace who are verbal witnesses, but there are those in the workplace who are silent witnesses. How are they silent witnesses? By what they will not be a part of. Who they are, what they are, and what they will not be a part of. There are conversations in the office they will not become involved in. There are attitudes and actions within the office they will not become involved in. They're just silent witnesses. But because of what they will not become involved in, that itself is a witness.
Amen.
So you've got both types. The witness of a lifestyle submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ, that is a witness. A witness, a lifestyle that is submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ at all times and all places. That is a witness. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words for a long time. Their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. The bottom line of false system of religion is deception. The bottom line of false systems of religion is deception. To believe, or to, I should say, to deceive and exploit the gullible and unsuspecting. You're surrounded by people. I'm not being mean or ugly. You're surrounded by people that know beans from Shinola about what's spiritual, what's not spiritual.
Amen.
They don't have the foggiest idea what is required for a sinful man to be reconciled to holy God.
No, sir.
And they'll buy into any system of religion, or they will develop their own system of religion and say, well, if I do this, do that, don't do this, do that, I'll be right with God. No, you got to be born again. But you're surrounded, we are surrounded by these people every day. But you have to understand this. God's word makes it clear, judgment is on the way.
Amen.
Right now, listen to me. The only thing holding the judgment of God back from this nation and the nations of the world is the body of Christ. We're the only ones. We're the only ones holding it back. And when we lose our salt, when we have lost our light and dimmed our light, when we are no longer standing in the hedge and making up the gap, and when we become a part of the system itself, that's when God will have to move. But it ain't going to be pretty, folks.
No.
It's not going to be pretty when God has to move. So, and then you've got, you're surrounded by people who have been deceived from infancy. From infancy, they've been deceived. And we're surrounded by them every day. Every day of the world, we are surrounded by these people. Wherever we go, wherever we may be. So that's all the more reason you need to be light. All the more reason you need to be salt. Because we are surrounded. Mike Fiore?
Yes, sir.
At the close of this message, I'm going to ask you to lead us in prayer. I'm putting you on notice.
Yes, sir.
Hear God. I've never done this before in my life. The church is asleep.
Right.
For the most part, the church is asleep. Quinn and I were talking earlier. This little ragtag bunch here, I wouldn't trade you for any group in the nation. Because you've got multitudes today. It's all set. It's all set. Okay, you're going to come in. We're going to do this, and here's the format, and here's the procedure, and this is the way it's going to go down, and we don't change the format, and we don't change the procedure. We're going to go zip, 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 and we're going to get you in here. We're going to give you about 38 minutes of message. We're going to give you an hour's message, and get out of here. Go out and be light, be salt. You can give a football game 3 hours. You can give any number of activities, any number of time, but church, I remember when I first went to the old Central Baptist Church, not preached beyond 12 o'clock, they'd start checking their watches. Had to get to that favorite restaurant on time to get there and get the right seat on time. But we, as a matter of fact, one of the deacons came to me and said, some of the elders, some of the old people, adult seven, told me to tell you, if you keep preaching past 12 o'clock, you have to leave. What must I tell them? I said, tell them bye. What I'm saying to you is this, is that so many times today, you're living among people, folks, who are caught up in this. We have systems of religion, and people are putting their faith in that system of religion. They're not putting their faith in Christ Jesus.
No.
They're not living a separated, consecrated life. They're kind of flowing with a mix, not wanting to offend. Just kind of go with the flow. That's not what it's all about. We're surrounded every day by people whose last heartbeat is going to put them in hell or heaven.
Yes.
One or the other. And we're the only salt. We're the only light that some of them will ever recognize. As we come through this, understand this. We're surrounded by millions, multitudes who are religiously affiliated, but one heartbeat from hell. Religiously affiliated, they're facing a Christless eternity with the last heartbeat.
Amen.
With the last heartbeat. I'm going to get ahead of myself. Can you imagine? It's a wrap up. All standing before the judgment bar of God. The sea gave up the dead which were in them, according to the word of God. Everything gave up the dead was in them. And the whole multitude, past and present, is standing before God. And the books are opened. And another book was opened. And the book of life was opened. And the names are being checked. Your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life. You were never cleansed by the blood of Christ. You never became a new creation. You were never born again. Oh, but wait a minute. You don't understand. I was baptized into this, and I was baptized into this, and christened into this, and christened into that, and my name was on the roll in that organization, and you're not in this book of life. You were never born again. You were religious. You were religious to a fault, but you were never born again. And because you were never born again, you must be consigned to an eternity in hell. And can you imagine having people look at you and say, you knew? You knew? You knew this was the bottom line? That if I didn't receive Christ, I would die and be consigned to an eternity in hell? You knew? That's reality. That's reality. We're to be salt. We're to be light. People to look at us and see a difference. Amen. We respond different in every situation in life. We don't react and respond like a child of the devil.
Amen.
We've been born again. We're a child of God. We react and we respond to the situations and the circumstances of life as a child of God. How did you determine how well you're doing there? But you don't want to be standing there. And somebody you knew that you knew well said, "You knew? You knew and you never told me? You knew and you were part of what I was doing? You knew what I was doing and you never spoke to me?" 2 Peter 2:4. Listen, watch this carefully. 2 Peter 2:4. "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." Members of the angelic host, if you recall, revolted against God. They revolted against God. And that speaks volumes to me, because if an angel can decide to rebel against God, that tells me the angels in their original created condition had free will. Had to. They had free will. And you had that group of angels that exercised that free will against God, contrary to God, and were deceived by this angel of high rank, Lucifer, who we know as Satan, when they conspired, as best we can tell from Scripture, about a third of the created angels in glory conspired with him. He didn't recognize himself as being a created being. He did not recognize God as the ultimate omnipotent, omniscient authority of the universe, and thought he could perhaps overthrow him, take his position, and become God. And he got about a third of the angels in heaven, as best we can determine, to join with him in that conspiracy and in that revolt and that rebellion against God. And they were cast down out of heaven. We call them demons. Some in hell have been consigned to hell. Now, I can't explain this to you except it's what the Word of God teaches. Who were the group that were confined to hell throughout all of eternity? They've been in hell since they were cast there. They're in hell now, and they will spend the rest of eternity in hell. But yet others remained on earth. We're up against them every day. We're up against spiritual warfare every day.
Amen.
You're up against demons every day. Whether you like it or not, it's the Word of God.
That's right.
You're up against it. Where do you think the attitudes come from? Where do you think the thought processes come from that are contrary to the Word of God and the character of Christ? Where do you think that comes from? Where do you think that originates? When you stop and examine him, old Satan, all the demons and were cast out with him because they lost the battle. They were cast out of heaven. How to understand this? Others were allowed to remain among humanity. Now slow down, listen to me. God took some of those that rebelled against him and he consigned them to hell. They were placed in hell. They're in hell to this time. Others he let remain out of hell. They're unclean, evil spirits called demons. And you're up against them every day of the world. They seek to persuade you. They seek to deceive you. They seek to entice you to follow their leadership and their guidance and their direction and their prompting. No demon out of hell can make you do anything you choose not to do.
Amen.
Can't do it. But they can seed your mind. They can seed your mind. And you're going to find sometimes that from the time you get out of bed in the morning till you go to bed at night, it is a war of the mind, a war of the mind, a war of the mind, a war of the mind. They're trying to seed the mind with ungodly thoughts, ungodly motives, ungodly actions, ungodly reactions. It's warfare. It's warfare. 2 Peter 2:5. "And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly." The whole population of the world at that time, with the exception of eight people, was destroyed. Worldwide flood. You know, as I was working on this message, some messages caused me more problems than others. and I'm going to get to error in just a moment. I'll explain that to you. But I was sitting before the Lord and thinking, they've never found the ark. Someday they may find the ark. I don't know if they do, it'll be in God's timing, the remnants of the ark. But I'll promise you this. If they ever find the ark, they will find claw marks of fingernails of people who were trying to climb up that ark to get inside that ark, but it was too late. The ark was sealed. But if they ever find that ark, there will be the evidence of individuals who were trying to claw their way up to find safety in that ark, but it was too late. The ark was sealed. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example of those who afterward would live ungodly. You understand that we're talking about angelic beings in hell? You're talking about angelic beings in hell waiting the final judgment. Why? Because of the revolt against God.
Amen.
It's kind of mind-stretching to realize that hell has a host of angels who were created by God, sinless, with all kinds of power, wisdom, understanding, but yet will. They had will. And about a third of them exercised that will against God, and as a result of exercising that will against God, were cast down into hell, where they are to this day, because they revolted against God. 2 Peter 2:7, I'm going to give it to you in two different versions. Firstly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. I looked at that, and I didn't like the way it read. So I went back to the King James Version. 2 Peter 2:7. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. He was vexed day by day by day by the ungodly, unholy, wicked lifestyles of those around him. How does it affect you? Are you the least bit vexed by what's going on in the world today? Are you the least bit vexed by the promotion of certain things that we know to be totally ungodly, unholy, but yet is being promoted, pushed? Does that bother you? You see, now moving into some, bear with me now, because I had to deal with this. I had to stop and slow down and pray and pray and go back to it and look at it and come back and pray again. So just listen carefully, then you take it before the Lord and deal with it as well. I had to ask myself, is Lot a picture of compromise? Let's go back to that verse again. And delivered righteous Lot. There it is, righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. King James Version again. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Okay, I look at that and I say, okay, wait a minute. Lot, according to the Word of God, you were vexed with the filthy lifestyle of those around you. You were uncomfortable. You were not comfortable in that setting. So why did you stay there?
Hello.
Now, these are the things I have to deal with when I'm preparing messages. But I said to the Lord, and I said to myself, I said, all right, Lot, if you were that uncomfortable, and if you were vexed day by day by day by this ungodly lifestyle, why did you stay there?
Hello.
Then I'm looking for an answer. We know he was uncomfortable in his surroundings, but he remained there. Was his continuance in that place as ordained of God? No, stop and think about what I'm saying to you. We know he was vexed. The Word of God says he was a righteous man. Well, we have examples in Scripture of righteous people who didn't necessarily always submit and surrender to the Lordship of Lord Jesus Christ. So I have to ask myself, is it possible, because we know that he held a fairly decent position in the city of Sodom. Yep. He sat in the gate. He gave advice. So I look at all this, and I say, being as righteous as you were you not uncomfortable in your surroundings? But you remained there? But could it be that he was ordained of God to be there? Listen to me carefully here. Is it just possible that even though he was vexed, he was ordained of God to be there so that in all of time and eternity there would be this record? There was light in Sodom. There was light in Sodom. And Sodom didn't pay any attention to the light.
Hello.
And Sodom paid the price. In this nation today, we have light.
Yes, sir.
But the light better not be diffused, and it better not grow dim. He didn't have enough light to carry the day, but he was light. They had a witness. They had a testimony. Righteous Lot. The Word of God refers to him as righteous Lot. Understand this. And this is a strong statement. I understand this. I've had to deal with this week. Compromise is anathema to God. Compromise is anathema to God. He hates it. And how much of the church is compromising today? How many of the people of God are compromising something of their testimony, their witness, their character, what they will be a part of, what they won't be a part of? How much of the church today is compromising? Compromise is the language of the devil.
Yes.
God hates it. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 8. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. I stopped there. And I said, now, wait a minute. That righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. So why did he stay? Was there family pressure? Do you compromise because of family pressure? Do you compromise who you are, what you are, because of pressure in the office? Pressure in the family? Perhaps there was some family pressure, we don't know. But here again, did the Lord keep him there as a witness? Did the Lord just say, I'm going to keep you here, you're to be sold? I'll tell you when we'll get the answer, when we get to glory. I won't know till I get the glory. I deal with these scriptures. I have to turn and twist them and look at them and try to get through them and see what this one said and that one said. And I couldn't get any relief. So I'm just giving it to you as I've received it myself so that you can deal with it. Because I have to ask myself, the only thing I can come up with, Noah, you were a man of righteousness. But you stayed in that ungodly, unholy, Sodomite community. Why? Why, Lot? Obedience. I've got to believe it was obedience. God kept light there. God kept salt there. Last verse, 2 Peter 2:9. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Notice that. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Understand this. God is sufficient to the situation, whatever situation you may be in. Did you hear me? God is sufficient.
Amen.
To the situation. Whatever situation you may find yourself in, God is sufficient to it. Our one objective, folks, day in and day out, our one objective, regardless of what we're up against and who we're up against, is obedience.
Amen.
Obedience is better than sacrifice. So day after day, the one thing, our objective, is obedience. And understand this. This is encouraging to me. The Lord can enable and empower His own people to come through anything Satan throws at them. God can enable, hear me, God can enable and empower His own to come through any situation or circumstance they're facing.
Amen.
And bring them out the backside of it victoriously.
Amen.
Giving Him glory, honor, and praise. He can enable, He can empower His own in the most trying circumstances. He knows how to deliver His own from whatever situation. He knows how. No matter what you face, no matter what you find yourself involved in, God knows how to bring you through it and out of it victoriously.
Amen.
Mike,
yes, sir.
Come up and close us with prayer.
Matthew 7, 13 through 14. All of you are familiar with this, but I felt led to remind us. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult. Christian walk is not easy. You have to deprive yourself of a lot of the world's pleasures if you're going to live for Christ. You have to subject yourself to a lot of ridicule, mockery, deprivation, promotional passing up, social engagements, even financial hardship. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And this is what really tears me up. And there are few who find it. Heavenly Father, it is our prayer that we do not miss opportunities to warn people who are going to hell. We don't want to get to heaven and have their blood on our hands. For to ignore the opportunity to not witness, and that failure sends someone to heaven, is just devastating. When we think of how we came to Christ, how people went out of their way to witness to us. And along the way, as Pastor Bob said, we've seen silent witnesses. I remember a young man in the Marine Corps. He didn't talk much, but every Thursday night he went to Bible study. And the other Marines kind of mocked him and made fun of him. But I knew in my heart that young man was doing something that I was not doing for the Lord. And he made a silent impact on my heart.
Amen.
And I remember him to this day. 50 years later, I remember that young man.
Amen.
And then the nurse, Connie, at the American Embassy in Lima, Peru, how she would come bouncing through the lobby of the embassy and would witness to us Marines. And I appreciated her zeal for the Lord. And she just loved us and wanted us to come to Christ. I never did at that time. Now, I had a head knowledge, but I did not have the heart knowledge. I had not surrendered to Christ, but she made an impact on my life. And ultimately, when Pastor Bob ministered to me and my wife, when we were on the verge of divorce, 45 years ago, a young couple, we came to him and his wife, and Pastor Bob shared with me the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and explained to me, and I was ready then. Perhaps I was not ready before, but those people made an impact on my life. As I'm sure you've had people make an impact on yours. If you look back in time, yes, I remember that guy. I remember that lady. And this has led me to my place in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, my soul. I think about it so frequently, the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
To be written in there makes all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world and in heaven. Father, we recognize our life here is so short, Heavenly Father. Even if we live to be 1,000 years old, it's still so short compared to eternity.
Amen.
Father, I thank you for this ministry. I thank you for Pastor Bob and Pastor Gene as they try to inculcate into our spirits the urgency to be salt and light, because we don't know who's watching us.
That's right.
And every time we compromise, we could be on a stage in someone else's view.
That's right.
And they say, aha, if he can do that, I'm no worse than he is. I'm good to go. But they need to see a difference, as we've seen the difference in those that made an impact on us. Oh, Father in heaven, help us to recommit ourselves to witnessing for Christ and living a godly life. And we cannot live a holy, righteous life as you are holy without daily Bible study, yes, without daily prayer, yep, without abstaining from the things that would drag us down. And there's so much stuff out there that's warring against our souls.
Amen.
On a minute-by-minute basis. So we have to be grounded. And we have to belong to a church, yes, where we can go and get fed the truth and fellowship with each other. Yes. We encourage one another. When I see my brothers and sisters here, when I see the joy in their eyes and in their hearts, it encourages me.
Amen.
I love being around the sheep. I love it. Because the rest of the time, most of the time, I'm around people that do not have salvation. They have no relationship with Christ. And it's a war, because you're constantly having to tell them, correct them. In a loving way, we try, but we can't always go with what they believe, because we have to stand up at points and say, no, that's not right. And that doesn't win you any popularity contests, which we should not care about anyway. But the world wants us. The world tells us we've got to be famous. We got to be celebrated if you're going to be somebody. And that's all garbage. All garbage. So, as Pastor Bob said, this is the deception. And Father, our churches are full of people who think they're saved and they're not saved. Oh, deliver those folks, Father, who think that they have an eternity with you, and they are dead wrong. So many churches, and Lord, I am unimpressed when somebody says to me, oh, we baptized 500 people last week. I just go, yeah. In my heart, I go, well, I hope they all took. I hope that reason they were baptized was because they truly got born again. Hmm. And they're just not going through the system because they were encouraged to do that. Lord, I'm afraid that's the case. I'm thankful, Lord, that you have a remnant, though. That's there right. are remnants in probably every true blood-washed, spirit-filled, spirit-led congregation led by a spirit-led, born-again pastor. I have a confidence that there's a remnant of people in there that do love you and that are trying to do your will in every aspect of their lives. But there's a whole lot of people, Father, if you preach a message that is soft, that is enticing, that is full of, I'm gonna lift you up so you feel good. A lot of people come in there and think they're good and they're not. So we're just asking, Lord, that you, with your Holy Spirit, penetrate the deception and darkness of every person who thinks they're saved and are not, so that eventually they will come to a true salvation
Amen.
In Christ Jesus before it's too late, Father.
Amen.
Before it's too late. And wake up the church, Father. We've got to realize we are, as Pastor Bob said, we are the only ones standing in the gap between your judgment and your wrath that you will surely pour out on this nation and the nations of the world. To stop that from occurring before people can come to Christ Jesus. And we just want that to happen. We want every person. Father, we'd love it. Every person in Jacksonville just came to Christ and just got born again. And then it just spread through the state and through the country. Oh, Lord, bring your revival amongst the church so that we'll get ourselves right and walk holy before our God. And you will use us in a way that you, only you can use us. So we thank you, Father. We praise you. We bless you. And we glorify your name. And let us go out there and be the people of God you have intended us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.